Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema on a Thursday, ready to start to wrap up our cornerback conversation through this week. Trev, we've talked about a lot of big names this week. We've talked about both the Alexanders, Jair and Adonis Alexander. We've talked about Minkah Fitzpatrick. We've talked about Tarvarius McFadden.
Talking about all the Alabama guys.
We've talked about Averett, Tony Brown. But we've got a number of names we didn't get to, so we had to bring in an expert to finish off the week. And so we brought in Jonah Tolles, NFL draft analyst for Draft Breakdown, and my new colleague over at NDTScouting.com. Jonah, congrats on the new hire, and we're pumped to have you on the show, man. Hope you're excited as well.
Yeah, no doubt. And no disrespect to Trevor, but they couldn't keep the best duo out of the NFL draft.
You and John? Yeah, you guys have been everywhere. You've been following each other around, man.
That's true, man. We've been bouncing around as a unit, and Jonah's been on the show before, and we're real excited to have him back on and hear his thoughts on the cornerback class, because there's a lot of good ones, and you really had a nice piece. We've been plugging it actually all week, Mom, but you had a nice piece over at draftbreakdown.com kind of going through the 2018 NFL draft preview, early breakdown of the cornerback class, your top tier guys, and kind of breaking guys up into tiers as you went. And right at the top of your list, Jonah, you start with a guy that Trevor and I had some positive things, some negative things to say about early in the week, but you loved Tarvarius McFadden from Florida State, the junior, 6'2", 198 pounds. Talk about what you see on his tape that really catches your eye.
Okay, so first things first, I listened to that podcast. It was mostly negative. but my thing on Tarvarius McFadden is that where are you going to find someone, a cornerback with his size, athleticism, and man coverage ability? Mm-hmm. And to me, you don't see someone like that. What in the frame of him, you know, Eli Apple went top 10, right, to the Giants. Mm-hmm. If you give him technical savviness to where he can play with his back to the ball and a little bit of patience at the line of scrimmage, I think you have something more of a finished product than what Eli Apple was coming out of Ohio State. Okay. And as far as Fan can improve on that going into his junior season, I mean, this guy could be a top five pick. I really believe. And you guys spent his second round. I'm thinking to myself, well, if Marlon Humphrey, someone who is not as advanced playing his back to the ball, but I think can really come up and play the run, but isn't really that great in man coverage, if he can go top 20 or Eli Apple can go top 10, how is Tarvarius McFadden not going to go in the first round? And to me, this is what the NFL values. NFL values length, they value athleticism, and they value man coverage ability at the cornerback position.
Right.
And what does Tarvarius McFadden not have in those three? And if you, I think I'm a little more lenient in his technical prowess than you guys are at the line of scrimmage, because when you look at his patience, I know a lot of people want to nitpick him the way he does, but to me, I think it's just fine right now, and I think he's a lot more advanced than what he should be as a sophomore. And he's going against top five competition. Mike Williams didn't have his best game against Clemson, but I still think he showed a lot of progress, and I think he can make a big jump his junior season, and I expect him to make that. That's why I project him as a top 10 pick. And I really like him, and I think he is my cornerback one heading this season because of that potential.
Yeah, I think the potential is 100% there, and I think you're right. And I think the traits-wise that you're talking about, I absolutely see a lot of the things you're talking about. You mentioned his line of scrimmage. I do think he is patient in that area of the field. I think technically he can get better, he can get stronger. But again, those are all things you want to work through. And I think you're spot on when you say that the NFL values what McFadden brings to the table. I think both of us would agree with that. It's more our saying our concerns with maybe where he might end up go in our minds, you know, as giving our assessment of him. But and I think one of the things too is, and you kind of mentioned this in your piece too, that his open field tackling and his ability to come up and play the run and things like that. Does that give you any concern heading into this season? Is that one of the areas you need to really see him improve if you're going to continue to project him as high as you do?
Yeah, and you realize, you see how strong he is at the line of scrimmage. Just really, you know, when he gets his hands on receivers, he kind of takes them out of the play. Mm-hmm. But whenever, like, you see him go for open field tackle, you see him always whiffing or, like, missing. Mm-hmm. Like, why is that happening? And you keep writing down in your notes, missed tackle, missed tackle, missed tackle. Why is this happening? Lunges too early. Missed timing on his wrap-up. He has to clean that up. He has to become a better open field tackler if he wants to be drafted where he is. And again, that's another projection. But like I said earlier, potential sky high, a lot to improve. You know, it was only a sophomore last season.
Right.
Still led the nation in interceptions, even though Trevor said in the last pod, it's a little bit misleading. But eight interceptions. The ball skills match the ball production. I really think he's the real deal. And to me, Tavares Fenn, again, cornerback one head in season because of potential.
All right, well, so, okay, let's jump on the next two guys, two of the guys who I think I said after this podcast. My favorite corners in the whole draft might both have the last name Alexander, and that's Jair Alexander and Adonis Alexander. I know you're pretty high on both those guys, and they're pretty different, definitely in size and how their play style a little bit. They share a little bit of mentality, but talk to me about both those guys, what you think about them.
Yeah, to me, Jair Alexander, and I know we almost mirror our thoughts on him. To me, he's the best pure cover corner right now in the draft.
And there it is.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like him being able to mirror and play with foot quickness and just vertically and laterally transition with receivers and routes, it's simply uncanny. That's what it is. And his ability to play either man coverage, zone coverage, off-man coverage, he could play press coverage. It's you just don't see it very often with his, you know, with his athleticism and his ball skills. A feared playmaker down the field, and one of the biggest things about him that people don't realize is he's a great run defender. Like, he's one of the best run defending corners in this draft, despite his size. Mm-hmm. You think you can 5'10"? You're like, oh, well, I mean, he shouldn't be a great run defender. No, he's a great run defender at the cornerback position.
Mm-hmm.
Makes every open field tackle you see, gets off blocks, very feisty. Gets physical with you. To me, he does everything you want, except he doesn't have size. It's the only thing he doesn't have. And
I thought he was a lot like Vernon Hargraves. See, I talked about him in the pod like that.
Yeah, see, I like him a little bit more Vernon Hargraves because I think he's a little more controlled than
okay.
he is.
Okay.
Because
and Vernon went 11, so.
Yeah, exactly. And Hargraves, to me, when you see him play, Hargraves is a little more, I don't know, he was a little hit or miss when he broke on in breaking passes. So I was more taken aback by him being more aggressive, but I feel like Alexander's more controlled. His controlled aggression sets him apart from Hargraves in that way. I compared him more, and I know this sounds a little bit rich, but I compared him to Chris Harris Jr. in my notes. I said that's what he could be.
Oh.
I really like him a lot.
Hmm.
But you look at the size, look at the man coverage ability, they'll take out their best player, whether it's on the outside or the inside. I really think he could be someone similar to Chris Harris Jr. at the next level if given the right opportunity.
And I think one of the things you highlighted in the piece that I thought was so spot on was that he has the ability to do a lot of different things, play inside or out. He was in press. He was sometimes in off coverage, and he played well. I thought in zone coverage, he diagnosed things and was – I thought he baited quarterbacks all the time in man coverage and zone.
Absolutely.
He plays
that's
a little
where he's
bit
at his
behind.
Best.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's – I love that from him because I thought he trusted his makeup speed to be able to make some of those plays. Sometimes it was too big of a risk, but I don't think it was an ability thing so much as a style thing. Can he tweak that in the NFL? I would hope so. But in zone coverage, man, he had one play against Virginia, and Trevor and I talked about it, but it was a cover two drop, I think, and he sank on a route and intercepted the ball. It was just beautifully because the quarterback thought he had the window, and Alexander timed his drop perfectly to take away the window and make a leaping interception. He just has that mental processing that you need in zone. He just struck me as a guy that he can play in any type of scheme, and I think he can even play on the outside even at his size. I don't think he's super small. He's just smaller than what you'd probably like, right?
Right, and when people hear you say that he takes a risk,
mm-hmm.
he lets people get by, and then he tries to make up with his recovery speed. Mm-hmm. We're talking about zone covers there. Mm-hmm. We're talking about man coverage. To me, I saw someone, like I said earlier, controlled aggression.
Yeah.
He will you won't get all too handsy on you like Averett does. He won't get too he won't jump on in breaking balls as fast as quickly or as harshly as Vernon Hargraves would. But what he does is he stays patient, stays in phase with the receiver, able to mirror. He plays with quickness. He trusts his eyes. It's the one biggest thing he does. He trusts his eyes. He base quarterbacks, and his eye discipline is just rare for someone in his position right now.
Yeah.
Going to his junior season, let's just think of this. He's about to be a third-year player, and he's already done that stuff.
Right.
What is he going to do in his third year with all his experience now? To me, it's going to be a dogfight between him and McFadden to be that first cornerback off the board, I think, because they both have different skill sets, and they both bring a lot of different things to the table in terms of length and man coverage ability. But in a vacuum, it's going to be hard to pick between those two players because – these are different skill sets to bring in the talent they bring at the table as well.
Yeah. Adonis Alexander, Virginia Tech. We watched this dude, Trevor and I, and Trevor even sent out a couple of his plays, posted them up on Twitter because they were just crazy. And Virginia Tech site said, I think he jumped 41 inches when he was coming into that, when he was a freshman, I think there. Now he's a junior. He's 6'3", he's almost 200 pounds. Although I think he can bulk up more, is he not exactly what the NFL is looking for? Is he not Kevin King, you know, not in terms of specifically his skill set, but in terms of the prototype? Is it not Kevin King's type of situation all over again?
Yeah, but I think he's stronger than Kevin King was coming out. Like, when you look at Adonis Alexander, like, at the line of scrimmage, this guy engulfs receiver. Like, he just, like, takes him in, just, like, it's like a tidal wave over these wide receivers. Like, it was against Boston College, I think, where he just threw a receiver down in press coverage. I'm like, man, this guy just steals souls at the line of scrimmage over here. But, yeah, to me, strong at the line of scrimmage. Able to play this back to the ball, that was a big thing for me. It's a big thing for all of my cornerbacks I scout. Can you play the back ball man coverage, turn, locate the ball in the air at the high point? He could definitely do that. In zone coverage, he's a little more quick with his eyes than I thought he would be. In cover two, he was able to bait quarterbacks and jump on his routes and sit on those routes. Route discipline was okay. The one thing I didn't like about him that I thought he could improve on, again, very young player, had a spectacular freshman season, a very good sophomore season, is wild. He's like a wild man.
Yeah.
Like at the line of scrimmage, he'll start fighting with you. If he doesn't get his hands on you, he's probably done. He doesn't really have the deep speed to really run with the top, you know, speed demons in the nation. So to me, and then he has a lot of work to do at the line of scrimmage technically, but I think I can live with it considering he's about to be a junior. He could work on that kind of stuff. He has a whole nother year of experience to gain. That's the biggest thing. He needs more time to develop because he has a skill. So like you said, of a first round player, this is what the NFL values. And if he can keep improving on his skill set, like I said my piece, this is one of my favorite lines to put. He turns 50-50 jump balls into 20-80 jump balls in favor of the defense.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have that length and we have that, you know, leaping ability, like a 41-inch vertical, any jump ball you have is basically yours. You're basically the receiver. And that's what he does. With his ball skills and ability to do that, it's game over. And you see that on many plays, with him and McFadden. So, to me, Alexander does have a first-round skill set, like you said. He is like Kevin King, but I think he's a bit stronger, and I think that's going to be the difference in him being a first-round pick.
A guy that I actually really liked watching live a little bit, but I definitely noticed there's some struggles, is Jordan Thomas, who we haven't talked about yet. He's from Oklahoma, and I thought there was a chance that he might have come out last year. I like the flashes that I saw from him as an aggressive corner, a confident corner, but, man, I feel like anytime – I'm watching a cornerback in the Big 12. It's just like, it's so hard to watch him because the Big 12 is so pass happy that these guys are almost getting hung out to dry there on the outside. And sometimes you get some bad tape because of it. So what do you do with some of those good moments that you see from Jordan Thomas? And then obviously just the bad times that you see from him, just from the nature of getting passed on so much in that league.
Okay, so first on the Big 12 corners, don't you ever say Rasul Douglas' name in vain again.
I like Rasul Douglas. I like Rasul Douglas.
You just said his name in vain. We'll take it.
I like Rasul Douglas.
It's fine.
He was one of my favorite cornerbacks of the Senior Bowl.
I'm Jordan Thomas. Like I said in my piece, if you bottle up all his highlights, you're like, wow, this guy could be a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. This guy makes interceptions. This guy makes tackles. This guy has good route recognition. Then all of a sudden, you go into the tape, you're like, hey, this guy even a day two pick? I mean, he's heading into his senior season, and he's not all there technically at the line of scrimmage. He's a good open field tackler, actually a pretty good one. I mean, he gets off blocks pretty well, has a probably one of the best open field tacklers with his wrap up in the draft. He could play this back to the ball. He can locate it. Obviously, the great ball skills. The ball skills match the ball production. But in man coverage, this guy is as shaky as they come. I'm talking like 50% more than Tre'Davious White shaky. Like, this guy is shaky.
When you start
putting some moves on him, he will start guessing. You don't know where his hips are going to go. He's just unpredictable. And I don't like that when my cornerbacks. Right. If you can't be able to sit on a route without being baited or without being your eyes, you can't trust your eyes. You don't trust your feet to be a reactionary athlete rather than a guessing athlete. I just don't know how I can trust you at the quarterback position unless you're going to play, you know, nickel or something where you're going to just play your back to the ball the whole time. To me, I think that's where he's going to have to play. I think he's going to have to play the nickel to where he's going to play his back to the ball, or he's going to have to just be a limited zone corner at the next level, because I just don't see him being able to play off man coverage much on the outside. I don't think he's much of a strong corner. And I saw him live last year against Texas Tech, and I didn't expect him to get eaten up the way he did in that game. And I was impressed coming into that game. After the game, I just didn't really feel too well. And to me, Jordan Thomas, if you look at the production and you look at the hype, like, you feel a little overwhelmed. But then you look at the tape, you feel a little underwhelmed coming out of it.
Yeah.
And I hope he makes a jump this next season. But unless he does, I don't see him being more than, you know, a third, fourth round corner, given the fact that he can't really be consistent ever unless he makes a change in man coverage.
How about Anthony Averett from Alabama? I mean, it's a guy we talked about length. I think he has some of that, but he's pretty light, and he does play with an edge. Trevor and I love that about him, but seemed like that there was a lot of flaws technically, and to me seemed to think the game slow right now, slow processing kind of out on the field. I'm just curious what you saw from him. I know you wrote him up and you had some thoughts on him in your assessments.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I saw more of a patient guy. I saw a patient guy who could in zone, who wasn't really all that wild in terms of guessing, but he is handsy, like Eric Murray handsy from Minnesota. Like, this guy will get up on you, and he'll probably get flagged for a lot of holding calls. Got away with a lot, really did. Got a lot of jersey. But then I see this a lot with Alabama guys, whether it's Marlon Humphrey or Minka. These guys don't really turn their head to find the ball, do they? They just don't. They don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but
we talked about that with him as well. That he just didn't really find the ball well.
They turn their head to find the ball, and it's almost like they can't. The deer in the headlights. Either it's one of two things that's going to happen when he's playing back to ball and man coverage, and bump and run. He's either going to turn his head, find the ball, and lose his man, and the man gets, you know, separation, makes the catch. That's one thing. Two is, I said, I'm not even going to risk it. I'm just going to face guard and hope they don't throw a penalty. Well, that happens sometimes, but other times they call the flag. And he's like throwing his hands up in the air, asking why he didn't get the flag. If you face guard, you should get flagged every time. That's my opinion, but so be it. But you guys said about his run defending skills. To me, he's probably the best run defender in this draft class at the cornerback position.
Wow. He's aggressive.
Yeah, and whether it's just getting off blocks or just being physical, this guy has the best wrap-up. Like, this guy's wrap-up made me want to write down my notes, like, every time. It's just awesome. Like, this guy doesn't miss an open field tackle.
Yeah, guy, that's clutch.
This guy wraps up, he drives through, and he finishes the play every time. And I love that about him. I love the edge he brings. Competitive toughness is off the charts. I love what he brings to the table as a football player. But, like you said, the technical prowess needs to improve. Back to the ball man coverage, a little bit slow in zone. I think he does need to improve those areas of the game. But he has the tools to work with. I mean, he is a pretty good athlete and an easy mover. The reaction and quickness in terms of transition laterally and vertically. But, like I said earlier, back to ball man coverage, that's one of my biggest things as a cornerback and scouting a cornerback. If you can't do that, that's not – that is – it's going to translate to the NFL as bad news for you again. Mm-hmm. So,
do you think he's a zone heavy guy when you watch him? Do you think he's a guy that if he can process the game at a quicker rate, he would be best in zone?
I really think he's either going to be like Jordan Thomas, but I think he has a little bit. I like him. I think he's more promising than Thomas is. Mm-hmm. Because I think he's going to be a nickel corner next level because of his ability to see him blitz a lot and it's effective. You see him come up and run support and you see him be able to – the nickel corner is a lot more valuable in run support than people think they are. And it's really another – everyone plays base nickel now. I mean, nickel's a starter. Mm-hmm. So when I say nickel corner, it's like, oh, he's not going to be a starter.
Right.
Well, we talked about earlier. He's a starter. He's going to be a starter for his nickel corner. If he can play his back to the ball, he'll be extremely valuable. But because he has everything you need from a nickel corner in terms of coming up with run support, and he is physical. To me, that's why I want a nickel cornerback. And he can eventually play on the outside, but I think I would ease him in on the inside first.
Next guy I want to bring up is Amon Marshall, because there was a lot of talk with him and Adoree Jackson last year. I want to hear your thoughts on him. So.
Yeah, this is my dude. This is my dude, Amon Marshall. Like, I like him more and more as I keep watching him. Like, you don't see guys. Okay, we talk about big and long corners who are able to engulf receivers at the line of scrimmage. He's like, to me, you don't see guys like him and as technically advanced as he is, as young as he is. I'm talking like as patient and as not. He's not easy to deceive on double moves. This guy stays in phase, constantly stays on top of routes when off man coverage. He won't let anyone buy him. He doesn't really run well. And I wonder what he runs if he comes out at the combine or his pro day. I got him listed like 4.58 athlete, but he does have pretty impressive quickness. This guy can laterally transition. He has good stop start quickness, really good open field tackler. But the only thing I don't like about him is that for how strong he is, he should get off blocks more. And I think he should be a more willing tackler. But the thing is, dude, this guy has ball skills. This guy has strength at the line of scrimmage. Play strength is off the charts. This guy has patience. He has quickness. He trusts his eyes and zone coverage. I really think he could be the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that what is he going to do as a top dog at USC? Like I said, Adoree Jackson's gone.
Mm-hmm.
If he can take that next level, he could end up being a top 20 pick.
Wow.
It's just a matter of time to where – is he going to take advantage of his opportunity? That's why I put him as a wild card. If he takes advantage of his opportunity, he'd be a top 20 pick. If he kind of fails and he kind of just like stays under the radar, doesn't really do anything, he could end up being like a second, third-round pick. So that's why he's a wild card to me, and he could stay back for a senior year.
How about Ohio State, man? That you tell me they're going to have another corner here? I see Denzel Ward, a 5'10", 185-pound junior in your list. So they're going to have another one.
The factory in Ohio State with these cornerbacks. And they all come in different shapes and sizes. You have Eli Apple, who's like 6'2". You're like, okay, he's raw technically. They have Denzel Ward, who's like 5'9", 5'10". Like, man, what's going on here? Garyon Conley, Marshawn Lattimore. Ward, I've heard people say Ward could be the next first rounder. But I really don't see the NFL valuing him that high, even though his talent level is – it really just jumped off the screen. With his world-class speed, great mover laterally, his athleticism off the charts, ball skills. The ball production, obviously not there, doesn't have an interception yet, but the ball skills don't match that yet. I think it's more like McKenzie Alexander to where you saw him have zero interceptions, like, oh, well, he doesn't really have ball skills. That's not really the case. He can really turn his head and find the ball. It's just that he really hasn't had the opportunity to really snatch one yet.
Right.
And it could be probably just his hands. I don't know. He's just he can find the ball. That's the major thing. Right. If he can find the ball, I'm fine with that. It translates. Zone coverage, fine. I thought it wasn't all that whacked out. I thought it wasn't as bad as someone like MJ Stewart. I thought it was just fine. Tackling. I thought it was okay for someone his size. I didn't think it was bad, but I thought it was okay, especially coming to someone in his third year. A lot of promising talent coming in his third season, and especially someone take the mantle. We talk about Amon Marshall taking the mantle. How about Denzel Ward taking the mantle behind two first-round picks?
Yeah.
That's going to be a lot of hype to overcome. And if he can do that, he could end up being a first-round pick just because of the hype.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, a 5'9", 5'10", is a lot like what we saw in Jordan Lewis. People saying, oh, he's the first round pick. He ended up being a third round pick with all the allegations around him. But I don't see the NFL valuing him that high because of his size. And if we're talking about Alexander's size, this guy might be an inch or an inch and a half smaller than Alexander. So to me, Denzel Ward can end up being a first round pick or can end up being a second round pick. He has the world class speed and he has the athleticism and he has really all the tools you need in man coverage to be a solid corner next level, regardless of where he's drafted.
All right, we definitely got to get you to talk about a couple of the small school guys before we get you out of here. But Sean Lurie, who is from Northern Illinois, and then Perry Nickerson from Tulane. Those are two guys that you noted. Talk to us about those guys. And there are probably plenty of people that haven't even heard their names before. So why are these guys on your radar?
Man, Lurie from Northern – oh, my gosh. This guy's like the Mighty Mouse of this draft, dude. This guy is so fun to watch. Like, okay, you look at him, you're like, okay, 5'8", small guy. Probably not a great run defender. Like, probably just, like, stays a probably better cover guy. This guy might be a better run defender than he is a cover guy. Like, this guy is a ball of energy. This guy will come up and hit you. This guy had a lot of tackles and it mashed up the production for it. Like, I was like, okay, like you said earlier, tackles and production might not match actual tackling in the open field. It actually does. Like, this guy makes a lot of tackles, and he does it for a reason. This guy's a great open field tackler. And then ball skills, this guy's the ball production, matches the ball skills again. Great mover. Again, the only thing to me that's going to stop him is his size, 5'8". And I just don't see how he can overcome that at the next level unless, you know, it's going to be really hard for him to do that. But because of his open field tackling, his ability to play in man coverage, I think he could end up being a good nickel corner next level. I don't know how good he can be. He's probably going to earn his keep on special teams as a gunner, but I do think he can end up being a serviceable cornerback next level.
How about this Perry Nickerson kid, the redshirt senior from Tulane? 6 foot, 175 pounds. Is that right?
Yeah, he's a string bean, all right.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. The thing about him is this guy wilts whenever he faces contact. The line of scrimmage, you need to play him in off man or zone, because when you play him at the press, like Tulane tried to play him at press one time, and it really scared me for his well being. But but when he's in off man or zone, he's really smart. Like, and I kind of expected this for someone, you know, who's a redshirt guy who's been in the program, understands the scheme, in zone, cover two or cover three, trusts his eyes, doesn't do someone else's job. You see a lot of corners trying to do that, trying to play hero ball, and they get out of their position, get out of their lane, and it really pisses me off. But with Nickerson, what he does is in zone, he does a lot what Alexander does. He tries to make up recovery speed and baits quarterback's eyes, and that's what he does a lot of time. It reminds me a lot of what a safety does over the top, and with his ability in zone coverage. And off-man coverage, he has reactionary quickness to move with the receivers. I hope you do at 175 pounds, so what are you good for? But and then his ball skills are better than I thought they would be. And then I think he can end up being a pretty good corner next level if he could bulk up. But he probably needs a year in the weight room. He needs to bulk up. Whoever is going to train him for the NFL really needs to make that a priority for him, because when he faces contact again, he's just not there yet.
Right.
And he needs to get there before he becomes a serviceable player at the NFL. Where the special, I mean, that's a big thing. If he's a small school guy trying to make it in the NFL, he has to make his keep on special teams.
Right.
And even though he's a good open field tackler, how is he going to get off blocks? Mm-hmm. And he really needs to get more functional strength and bulk up before he becomes a serviceable player at the next level.
Perry Nickerson, NFL draft scout, has him at 5'10 and a half, 182. So they're usually pretty accurate. So maybe he is adding a little bit of bulk, and they have him a little bit shorter too. So maybe a little bit more compact, but still, yeah, that sounds like a dude who definitely needs to add some bulk to his frame. Last guy we want to ask
how much,
you about.
That's how much I weigh. So
you weigh 175?
Those are like my exact measurements. Yeah. So like, and but I'm not playing in the NFL, so that's not really. No. I thought you said it was like 5'10 and a half.
Oh yeah, 5'10. Like, yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's like my exact measurements, but I'm not trying to play in the NFL. Nah.
I thought you were taller than that. Nope. All right. Well, while Trevor works on trying to get his weight up, we need to hear about Minka Fitzpatrick. He's not on this list with the corners. You mentioned at the beginning of the piece that you have him as a safety right now. Was it because you think he's just going to play safety either in college or in the NFL? That's where teams are going to see him. Or because you saw things you were worried about at corner when you watched him? What was your kind of reasoning behind your Minkah Fitzpatrick and where you have him right now?
Both. It was both. And to me, I talked about Marlon Humphrey a lot last year about how I wanted him at safety at Alabama, but they never did because he's probably the best corner they had. But now it's basically Marlon Humphrey reincarnated, but he gets to play at safety. Yay. And so because Minkah Fitzpatrick is everything Marlon Humphrey was. Like, he's literally a clone. And when you play him in run support, this guy is physical. This guy's a great open field tackler, reliable. That's one of the biggest things about the run defenders. You don't need them to be, you know, outstandingly like physical. Right. As long as they're reliable,
right?
That's perfectly fine with me. If you can make a tackle at this said time, at this said moment, fine with me. It's all clean from defensive back standpoint. But Minkah Fitzpatrick will run through you if you're not careful. And to me, I love his physicality. I love his eye discipline. Doesn't really get baited much. When he's playing back to ball and man coverage, he's a lot like Marlon Humphrey. He's either face guarding or he can't find the ball. Or he's a deer in the headlights. And when he throw it, he's trying to look for it. Man getting separation, he's over him. Doesn't know where the ball is. Runs out of bounds.
Right.
40-yard play. Man, it really frustrates me with these corners. They don't know how to find the ball, but everything else Fitzpatrick does pretty well. I mean, Fitzpatrick can move, easy athlete, easy mover, can find the ball when the ball's in front of him.
Right.
That's probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, and Trevor mentioned that, actually. Trevor talked about how that was his big thing, when the ball was in front of him.
Yes, if you keep the ball – it's just like Marlon Humphrey. When they keep the ball in front of him, he can break on in-breaking routes. Mm-hmm. He can stay in phase, and he can find the ball when he can see it. He can find the ball when he can see it, mm-hmm. but when he can't see it, it's a problem. And he can't see it often. Mm-hmm. Which is also a problem. So, to me, Fitzpatrick is a reincarnated Marlon Humphrey that I wanted at safety, but he's actually going to play at safety.
Right.
So I'm happy.
Makes sense, man. He's one of the best out there, man. Always great talking with Jonah Toles. He is an NFL draft analyst for Draft Breakdown, and now with me over at ndtscouting.com. And you can follow him on Twitter at Jonah Toles, TULSNFL, at Jonah Toles NFL. Make sure that you guys follow him and check out his work. Does some really great stuff, and I'm excited to be working alongside him once again. Jonah, thanks so much for coming on the show, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, man. And I'm going to plug something real quick. I'm about to have an MJ Stewart piece up today, too. So you guys check that out, too. North Carolina, you guys are going to like it.
Right.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So thanks so much to Jonah, and make sure you check out that MJ Stewart piece on ndtscouting.com. Another corner we didn't even get a chance to touch on today, but the Jonah has some great thoughts on. There were a bunch of corners in that draft breakdown piece we didn't get a chance to touch on that Jonah likes too. So make sure you check that out over at draftbreakdown.com. Look up his 2018 NFL draft preview, early breakdown of the cornerback class by Jonah Toles. Trevor, we are Fan Friday-ing it tomorrow. We're taking questions. We've
Indeed,
also got
we
a
are.
Couple more corners to put on your radar, maybe. Mm-hmm. We're going to try and pop in there. So we'll throw some other names out there. We'll take your questions. We'll wrap up cornerback week. We'll head into safety week. And then we're off and running. College football previews, our positional rankings before the season starts. August will be underway. I'm getting super excited for football season, man. So I'm glad it's right around the corner. But we'll be back tomorrow. Make sure you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft. Napa
Know How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How. Napa Know How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.